The FTSE Russell indices are getting ready for their annual reconstitution process on June 23rd. I interviewed FTSE Russell Director of Product Management for the Russell U.S. Indices, Catherine Yashimoto, and CME Group Head of Financial and OTC Products, Tim McCourt, about the reconstitution. Here is my interview with Catherine and Tim.
This marks the 35th anniversary of the annual Russell reconstitution. What exactly is it, and how does it work?
Thanks, John. Russell reconstitution is a complete reset of the Russell U.S. indexes, which include the Russell 1000, which captures the large cap segment, Russell 2000, the small cap segment, growth and value indexes. Because markets change, it's important that the Russell indexes are rebalanced completely each year in order to capture the changes that have occurred over the previous year in the market.
So what kind of changes are those that you're capturing?
Changes will include moves from large cap to small cap, small cap to large cap in growth and value. So some of those changes at a high level, because we want to manage turnover, there's a banding process that mitigates the flips between the Russell 1000 and Russell 2000. So really the changes that are going to be implemented will be the biggest changes that going beyond the band. So you'll see some names go between Russell 1000, 2000, some new additions. But at a high level, if you look at the sector weights, largely it's fairly stable. Now, I say sector weights, but it's important to remember that the Russell indexes, we don't apply any sector weight targets. It's purely a roll-up of the markets. So at a high level, you're looking at a fairly stable Russell 1000, Russell 2000, while seeing the shifts in the specific names as companies grow or decline in market cap or split from growth to value. Among last year's changes, Meta got a lot of attention because they went to partial value. This year, Meta is back to 100% growth. Alphabet is also 100% growth. So you're seeing some of the changes in the markets reflected as growth companies have come back earlier this year.
So when does this whole process begin and when does it end?
So this year, the process began as of rank date. April 28th was this year's rank date. On May 19th, we posted the preliminary additions and deletions to the Russell 3000 Russell Microcap indexes to our website, FTSERussell.com, to announce to the market and to clients, you know, what are the preliminary additions and deletions. That was followed by a 2-week query period where, you know, we took clarifications and corrections were made as, you know, additional information was pointed out, but always as of the rank day of April 28th. So now we have entered the lockdown period. So for Russell reconstitution, membership is considered final. And now we are working toward the final implementation day, June 23rd, where the Russell reconstitution changes will take effect and be reflected at the Monday's market open.
So why is the annual Russell index rebalancing such an important event for the markets and investors? And how many assets are benchmarked to the products tracking the Russell U.S. indices?
Great question. Russell reconstitution is considered one of the busiest trading days, but also at the same time, one of the most orderly and well-orchestrated events in terms of the communication we provide to the market and to the changes that are occurring. There were $12 trillion assets benchmarked. That's total benchmark, including active and passive portfolios, tracking the Russell indexes as benchmarks as of the end of 2021. And that feeds into why Russell Reconstitution Day is such a busy day. Last year, $140 billion traded at the close of U.S. markets on Russell Reconstitution Day. So it is a busy trading day because of the assets tracking, the wide adoption of the Russell indexes. That being said, it is considered an orderly event, largely a liquidity event, because the markets and traders are preparing for that reconstitution event on June 23rd.
And what are some of the main highlights and notable changes that will take effect at the conclusion of the reconstitution after U.S. markets close on June 23rd?
Yeah, I highlighted a couple of the notable changes. like Alphabet and Meta going to 100% value. They're going to be 100% only in the Russell 1000 growth index, no longer partially in Russell 1000 value. And the additional changes are actually posted to our website. There is actually a reconstitution highlight summary that anybody can go to on our website, and you can look at detailed changes there. But there, again, those preliminary additions and deletions are posted. They're actually updated every Friday to capture any changes that come about. So, of course, some of the changes during the query period are reflected in those Friday updates. But yeah, our website is a great place to look for specific changes and additional details on the specific names that are moving in and out of the Russell 3000 microcap indexes.
So, Tim, what does this year's reconstitution signify for what lies ahead for this year's equities markets? How might this be used as an economic indicator?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question, and certainly hard to say exactly what will happen in the future. But I think when we look about why not only the reconstitution matters for the Russell Index families, but also let's look at the Russell Index methodology itself. You know, this is a very pure statement on the market cap of the U.S. names. This is rules-based, as Catherine described. It's not committee-based. So it's really a reflection of what has happened in the last year and better prepares traders and investors for the year ahead. It realigns the indices with their style, whether it's growth or value. It realigns them to their market cap. Is it large cap or small cap? And it really just increases that precision of what these indices are designed to track. I think when you look at that in the backdrop, not only of the last few years, but what may lie ahead for the balance of this year and beyond, is the theme that index choice matters. Especially when you look at the U.S. economy and the landscape, these indices are tracking and behaving slightly different things when you're looking at the benchmarks available. So you're looking at the Russell 1000 as a proxy or the benchmark for the large cap. That's going to have a different personality than the other index choices that are available for that. And investors should choose wisely as a function of what their investment thesis is. Similarly, if you go down into sort of the Russell 2000, the small cap, I always point out to people that is a highly specific index that really tracks the U.S.-based economy when you think about it. When you think about those names in that index versus the multinational large cap companies of the 1000, sort of its older siblings, so to speak, you're going to get a much more sort of pure expression, I think, of what's going on in the U.S. So there's even different personalities and fundamentals between the 1000 and the 2000 that make up the Russell 3000 total index family. So that's what I like about the reconstitution is it rebalances that. It resets that sort of register for the year. And the other thing that I always encourage investors and traders to look at is sort of who's graduated out of the 2000 into the 1000. What sectors are enjoying that upwelling of market capitalization that is a statement as what's going on. So I think this year, Catherine Wright, we have consumer discretionary and financials and healthcare, I think sort of leading the ascension into the 2000, where if I remember last year, I think it was maybe there was a lot of turnover around energy, right? Or some of the other sectors of the economy. So that's really helpful to say what has momentum, but hard to say how far that momentum will carry into the year. But it's a great way to rebalance the portfolio as a function of the index construction. And Catherine and Team Russell do a great job around this and promoting it to the marketplace.
So let's talk about the derivatives here a little bit then. How can market participants use derivatives, specifically the E-mini Russell 2000 futures and options, to hedge around the annual rebalancing?
Yeah, futures are a great tool for investors and traders to use during this period. And what I mean by that is it really falls down to see two kind of categories. One, I would say, is a primary access category, and the other is a hedging. Let's take the latter first. So if you want to try and deploy strategies around the adds or deletes, or perhaps maybe you have a mandate where you can more actively manage your index and you want to spread out some of the liquidity or the trading of that event over the days leading up to that final Friday of recon, you could balance some of your trading activity by using futures to hedge that basket of stocks, to hedge that sort of deployment of the rebalance and trade Russell 2000 or Russell 1000 futures against it, where you could use still sort of that nice, easy index hedge against the specific or precise way you're allocating or managing the reallocation within your portfolio. So that's always a great hedge. Now, also opportunistically, are there traders out there who like to play the add deletes? And we know that's a big Russell trade in the marketplace. Futures are a great way to reduce some of that risk related to the parts of the index that aren't changing when you think of it like that. You could really hone in on the add delete exposure and balance some of that out with the hedge of the parent level index on the Russell 2000 E-mini future or the Russell 1000. Now, the other way is around access. Let's say you're a large asset manager or you're managing a large portfolio of cash. I mean, these are a lot of stocks to trade. And if that recon is on Friday, the example I always go to, and then you can extrapolate it from there, is if you think about that recon balance on that rebalance on Friday, you got a lot of things going, you're managing all of your cash inventory, you're ready to go. Then what happens like during that day on Friday, you get a new inflow, you get new cash you have to put to work. Are you trading that old index? Am I trading the new index? I already had all my homework done. What am I doing around that? And that's where our tool of BTIC, which is basis trade at index close, is a great way to manage that, because you can still get the certainty of the cash close in the underlying index in futures form. So if you have new money coming into your funds or into your portfolio and you don't want to maybe trade the old and rebalance new, just use BTIC futures for a few days and then ex post the recon. You could always use mechanisms like BTIC to undo that trade back to cash or use exchange for physical at the exchange. So all these tools together can help you sort of manage your access or your equitization or your inflow outflow management around the event. And you can certainly do that even a few days before that, depending on what your portfolio looks like.
You anticipated my next two questions, which were about BTIC and exchange for physicals. Very well done. What types of investors have risk in the reconstitution?
I think it's a good question. I think one thing, and Catherine can always keep me honest here when we're talking about this, is it's important to note that the index provider and the methodology make sure the index price level is constant pre and post reconstitution. So there's not necessarily a price exposure event around that rebalance that is seamless from both a pre and ex post rebalance perspective via divisor adjustments and index construction and methodology. So I think that's just helpful to clear. Just to make sure we are clear on and clarify, the risks really are around how are you managing the rebalance and how do you sort of, if you're benchmarked to that close on that one day, how do you make sure you do that? If you're a passive investor, you might not have the mandate to manage it in advance and you're now participating in that market on close, which is one of the top trading days of the years for equity. That is always a lot of fun to watch in the market. So there's a tremendous amount of liquidity when you think of all of this share count that goes through in seconds in the market on close auction over at NYSE and NASDAQ. That's really exciting to watch. But, you know, there are things around there, whether you may be, maybe you're a short seller in a stock, or maybe you're restricted from trading in some stocks. So you really have to pay attention to all of the components, do all of your homework. And anytime you have maybe a mismatch or an inability to trade, or you need a little bit of hedging, futures is a great complement to that. So I would say the risks are larger around managing the reconstitution from an operational perspective, a preparation perspective, making sure you're informed of what all your positions are, what the names are you're trading, that you really just have a handle on what that reconstitution event is. But it's important to know that from an index level perspective, and that's why futures help you bridge the event if you need to, is because futures are just a one line item, they're financially settled, and that index price is continuous. And future is a good way to manage around that without having to trade the basket. But I think it's just really around the operational aspects of trading the basket, where I always remind traders, make sure you do your homework and double and triple and check it before you send that order.
Do you have a favorite year for the reconstitution?
I think every year is a lot of fun. You know, I'm looking forward to this year. I would say probably the most memorable for me, right? So I was a longtime equity index trader before I joined CME. You know, I was 10 years at one bank and then 3 years at another. And then I came to the exchange, but then we won the Russell back, right? There was this period of time it wasn't at CME. So in 2015, we won the contracts back to CME. We launched the Russell 2000 in 2017 in July, just missing that recon. So I think my favorite recon ever was that first one in 2018, after we had all the Russell contracts backed at CME. I remember joining the team up at NASDAQ Market Center for the closing bell ceremony. And that was so much fun, and really looking forward to this year's events later this month.
All right, Catherine, let me ask you this. The Russell reconstitution concludes with traditionally one of the highest trading volume days, as Tim has talked about.
it's a high volume day on the major U.S. equity exchanges. How much trading volume typically occurs? And can you tell me how much volume is on the opening, how much, you know, during the day, and how much on the close?
Well, we typically track the close because that's when the reconstitution changes take effect. And on the close, over the past several years, the trade has been across NYSE and NASDAQ exchanges above $100 billion. Now, reflecting back on the past couple of years, in 2020, the market dropped. And then 2021, the market came roaring back, right? So that was a record in terms of the dollar traded at the close, $180 billion. And last year was $140 billion. It came down a little bit. So we do anticipate probably above $100 billion again at the close. Now, that being said, we have worked with NASDAQ for 20 years this year. It marks the 20th anniversary of the closing cross with NASDAQ. They ensure that there is a single price at the trade. And this is really important for, you know, going back to your question about risk, you know, that the trade is executed as single price in the last couple seconds of the market close. And NYSE also has a closing auction process that ensures that, you know, investors are, you know, aligned at that close.
I can only imagine having to do this process in the old specialist open outcry system. That would be something. So, Catherine, one final question here. Where can people go for more information on the June 23rd conclusion?
Yeah, so I mentioned our website earlier. The specific link is www.fitzyrussell.com/resources/russell-reconstitution. So there's a wealth of information there, the additions and deletions, the recon summary highlights I mentioned earlier, as well as, you know, process oriented, what's the methodology, infographics that help the market participants walk through the process to make sure that it is transparent and clear and easy to understand for anybody to follow.
All right. Any final thoughts, Tim?
No, I'm looking forward to this year's event. It's always a fun time for the market. It's great to work with such fantastic partners like the team at FTSE Russell. And if anyone has more questions or wants to learn more about how to use futures or EFPs to facilitate some of their risk management around the recon, just encourage folks to go to cmegroup.com and visit the equity product section of our website. Tremendous educational resources and partner content around this to help with all of your trading needs.
All right. Well, thank you so much for telling me all about the reconstitution of the Russell indices.